My name is Zach Selwyn. You may remember me as a host from ESPN, Attack of the Show, or even Immortalized, that competitive taxidermy show on AMC. We lasted one episode. Anyway, three times a week, I'm bringing you the realest fake news of the day. It's the Saturday Night Live news desk, but in an audible format. Listen to the Audio Up News Network on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Dennis Quaid here, and I want to tell you about the Orange Tree. Now, I have recently started a podcast network called Audio Up, and much as I prepare for movie roles, I've been researching the podcast landscape and listening to hundreds of podcasts. One in particular stopped me in my tracks. The Orange Tree. It's a true crime podcast series told with such authenticity and care by Haley Butler and Tinu Thomas, two journalists who were University of Texas students when they started reporting on the story. It's about the 2005 murder of a young woman named Jennifer Cave near the University of Texas at Austin campus. What struck me most was the thorough examination of the case and the exclusive access granted to these two young reporters. What makes this true crime story so unique is their perspective. They're two young women who are the same age as Jennifer Cave and at very similar points in their lives. The Orange Tree is engaging, it's thoughtful, and really, really powerful. Take a listen to The Orange Tree on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts today.
You're listening to Lips LA with Scott Lips.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. How you doing? It's Scott Lips, and you are listening to another episode of Lip Service. Today is Wednesday, April 15th. Very easy to forget what day it is now. Every day actually feels like the same day to me, but it's Wednesday the 15th. Coming up on today's show, we have the amazing brothers from Palo Royale. They're actually going to perform a live song for us via Zoom, which is the first time we've ever done that before. The news is changing every day. How are you guys feeling? How are you holding up? Are you guys getting outside? God, who knows when this will be all over. It's a very scary time. I'm thinking maybe June. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that things can have a little bit of a semblance of a normal life again. It's the 57th episode today. It's crazy to feel like we've been doing this for almost 2 years now. And really happy to have you guys here, excited for our show today. If you like the show, please tell 10 friends, 100 friends, tell a bunch of friends about the show. The show is free. It's available on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. And please follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, and give me some feedback on the show. Love to have your great comments about the show. It's always really helpful. And we're going to talk to the guys today just about how they're dealing with the pandemic, how it is to release new music in this era of the coronavirus. And we're definitely about 6,000 feet apart. They're quarantined in their house up in the Hollywood Hills, and I'm here down in Hollywood. And so we have a bit of a, sometimes with the Zoom stuff, it's a bit of a challenging audio, but this should be a great show. Excited for it. Hopefully the live song will come out great. And yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Coming up in just a moment, the boys in Palais Royale.
You're listening to Lips LA with Scott Lips.
Hey guys, how are you?
Doing well, Scott. How are you doing, Scott?
Awesome, you, awesome. Do you have a, are you guys on a shared computer or a cell phone over there?
We're just on the cell phone.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, obviously, the idea of social distancing with the boys in Palo Royale doesn't apply to this video. Are you guys quarantining together? Are you living together?
So we live right down the street from each other. It's like
we see each other like every other day. So yeah, we just have to write with each other. So I'm like, if we somehow get it, we're in it together.
I think it's like when we were on tour when all of this started happening. So it's like the people we were surrounded by when we were in Europe and then got back to America, we've only seen the same five people for like tour and then 5 weeks of this.
Yeah, so we've only seen like five people pretty much for like past 2 months.
Emerson, yeah. Remington, myself, and then our filmographer, Michael, who was on tour with us.
So for those of you guys who don't know, you guys are all brothers. Emerson's not here today, but I guess he's quarantining somewhere else in LA.
He's at home and he's sleeping.
He's on the worst schedule of all time. I think he went to bed last night or at like, I think it was like he went to bed finally at like probably 9 a.m.
Yeah.
I love that you guys. I love that you guys are waking up at 3 a.m. during quarantine because you don't know what day it is anyway, right?
Nobody
knows.
It doesn't matter.
Rules do not apply during quarantine.
That's true. So I actually took a shower for you guys because I feel like we're friends and presentable for the interview.
I can smell you through the camera.
Thank you. But I could see you guys definitely got dressed up. We should talk about your image for a moment. And for those of you guys who don't know, Pellerel are my friends. They've been on the show before. I want to talk about how you guys are dealing with what's going on today. You have a new record coming out. So obviously we're going to get into the new videos, new record, and you know how you're going to promote this album during this pandemic and what you guys have been going through in the future of music and where we are at today with this whole thing. So you guys have this image, and we've spoken about it before. I love your image, and it's almost like post-apocalyptic. There's gas masks in some of your pictures.
Yeah.
It's almost like, what do they refer to it as? It's steampunk, right?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen the steampunk movement?
Yeah, absolutely. I think with this like whole album, like originally, we went on tour with Stone Sour, which is Corey Taylor from Slipknot. And when we were out with him, that was when kind of the whole conception of the Bastards visuals came into play. We were in Nashville, and I remember having a discussion in some Motel 6 in 2018. And we were opening up for Stone Sour at the time, and we just decided that Boom Room Side B and the Bastards album were going to have to be two separate albums. Originally, it was a lot of these songs on this new album were supposed to be on the last album.
Yeah.
But it just musically didn't make sense. It was like a very counter,
very
dark and very like, you know, poppy kind of rock stuff going on. So we wanted to split the record. A producer agreed to doing two albums, and we came up with visuals, and it was just something we wanted that it was a symbolization of the album. So when you see a gas mask, you know it's the Bastards era. When you saw the red, you know it's the Bastards era. So it kind of just all fell into place. And it's been a record that we've been working on for about 2 years now, because we were in LA in the past 4 years for only probably 6 months because we were touring so much.
Yeah,
so
trying to
come back and
make
an album like in a week at a time, and then come back and make another song, like another song.
And I want to get into what you guys are doing during quarantine, because I know, Sebastian, you got the Peloton. I'm sure there's some cooking going on.
Yeah.
Social media. There's so much going on with that whole thing. But this record, from the stuff I've heard so far, is incredibly catchy. The songs are amazing. The videos are amazing. So let's kind of walk through the whole thing, because you guys were on tour just up until, what was it, a month and a half ago? Me and Sebastian, you know, we talk all the time.
Yeah.
And I remember you were telling me some of the shows that started to get canceled. It was around, would you say, like the beginning of March when this started?
So the beginning of March is we started the tour in early February. We did all of the UK, all the shows were sold out. It was going great. It was funny. We were having shows canceled because Remington was like climbing on things, and they wouldn't even let us finish the shows half the time. So we were playing in Glasgow, and they shut down the show before the doors even opened, because they thought Remington was going to be a risk to the audience.
Was this pre-corona, or was this just...
This is pre-corona.
This is just your normal stage antics, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So when that all happened, and then it came into March, we were going into, like, we were in Finland, we were in Sweden, and or Norway and Sweden, and we were coming down and doing, like, all the Eastern European shows. And we started hearing about, like, okay, coronavirus, like, a little bit more, and was ramped up, and people are being more cautious. They're saying we'll do the meet and greets, not to touch anyone. And we're like, okay, we need to start paying attention to that. But then it was when we were waking up and we were going over the border border crossing. And we were woken up by guys in hazmat suits on our tour bus, taking our temperature and making us sign these documents that we're not going to be sick, not bringing anything into their countries. And it was like, it started becoming really real. And we were getting phone calls about Milan being canceled, and Spain was being canceled.
Yeah,
and
Sweden.
Sweden was already.
Switzerland, yeah.
And we had to make the decision when we were in Poland after the gig. We're like, we need to finish this tour up. And we were like, you know, we need to get home. And then that was right when Trump announced that they're going to close, you know, flights coming back to the States.
Yeah, so we had to rush back, get like the quickest flight out of there, or else we would have been stuck.
And they didn't specify at that time, if you're an American citizen, you're allowed to come back. They just said no flights back to America. So we were like, are we going to be stuck in Prague for the rest of this?
Yeah.
Right. So we got to Paris, took a flight back, and it was good. So we got back, but it sucks. We had to cancel 4 months of tour.
But prior to that, you had played just about up to the day that he made that announcement, correct?
I feel
we played that.
We played the last show in Poland ever since this has happened.
And were people starting to, do you feel the crowds were starting to dissipate? Were people starting to take it very seriously? Or at that point, it hadn't become a thing yet?
It hasn't been. And that was the thing. We look back at footage and we've been doing these weekly episodes called Bastards Television that kind of show a visual throughout the whole touring for this past tour. And it's crazy to see how like people's tone was towards coronavirus. It was kind of like, oh, okay, coronavirus, whatever. And then seeing where it is now, like there's no, it's night and day, you know, everyone wasn't really taking it seriously and precautions with it. And I think everyone's taking it seriously now because it has to be.
Of course. And let's talk about it for a moment. Do you guys have friends that have gotten the coronavirus?
One of our really good friends in another band, Crown the Empire, Brandon, he got coronavirus. They were in Asia and then they came back and he got it. So,
And then
because I was concerned about you guys when you were touring in Europe, because that's where my friends that have gotten it from Europe when they were there.
I don't know, maybe we've just drank too much good liquor and
I don't know, like we drank so much alcohol, I think we just might have burned anything that possibly came into our system.
No, but it's really sad to see the state of the world, and kind of like trying to keep positive, I think, is the hardest thing for the audience, for us as a band. You know, the music industry has no idea what they're doing, and they pretend like they do, but no agent, no record label.
Yeah, because you can't predict.
You
where
can't
this
predict.
Thing's gonna go.
You don't know what the time. You know, everyone's like, "Oh, we can go on tour in June." I'm like, "That's not gonna happen."
Yeah, and I'm reading things that the live concert scenarios won't come back till fall 2021.
Yes.
So, and which is really scary because, as you guys know, you have to book tours way out in advance, right?
Exactly.
So with the remaining dates you guys had, have you already postponed them? Have you rescheduled them?
So we've had our dates that we couldn't finish in Europe. Those have been rescheduled for August and September. But Italy just announced that they're not allowing any shows till 2021 fall, or they're talking about it. And so we have like a bunch of festivals and whatnot, but obviously, if it's one show that's not going to be able to be done, I don't see how Europe's all going to, like, it might be decided by each different country to say, all right, you know, no shows here, no shows here, which will make touring incredibly hard if you can't be driving through those countries.
Yeah.
You know, so that's postponed. Our American tour was supposed to start this Friday, and we're supposed to be doing shows at like the Wiltern and Webster Hall and all these incredible venues across America, and that tour is put on by Live Nation, and Live Nation's like kind of saying no touring at all. And so now we're like, yes, we're with Live Nation now, but we're under their umbrella of a tour that they're not going to allow the shows to go on because they're such a big corporation.
Yeah. So they don't want to take any risk. I get it.
Yeah.
No, safety first.
But.
And have you guys given any thought about releasing the record during this time period? Because obviously to promote the record, it's normally live shows.
Yeah. I think it was like weirdly, like it's a perfect time to put out a record. You know, like
people need music.
People need music right now. You know, everyone's stuck at home right now. And so sales might not be great due to this because there's no
income.
People can't go into stores and buy a CD. But honestly, I think people just need music. So
I think
it's a perfect time to put out a record.
We've been, our whole entire career, we've been a product of the digital world. You know, we were a rock band that was able to come up through the social media ages. And I think everyone's like, you're a rock band and you're able to have this platform and play, you know, sold out shows across the world. Like, how did you do it when there's rock bands can't even do the Viper Room? And I think it was because we adapted to social media so much. So putting out a record digitally is like, okay, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yes, the physical records won't be able to come out till the fall, whenever, you know, vinyls printed and CDs are printed, but our fans, like, we're not going to starve them of music during these times. And we've put out 2 music videos since we've been home. We've done 4 like real live streams, like multi-camera. I set it up in our garage.
So
I want to talk about that.
We're getting creative, and you know, I feel like there's always going to be a way that we can kind of get our creativity out and kind of like make most of being home at this time. You know, we're already working on another record right now and working on music videos and all that good stuff.
But let's talk about it. You're being incredibly humble. I mean, you guys have always been ahead of the curve with technology and connecting with your fans. You look great. Your songs are incredibly catchy. I'm not saying that just because we work together. I'm saying I truly believe that. I believed in you guys since the day we met. You know, me and Sebastian have been friends before we even, as you know, started working together. So for a band like you guys, that the fan connection is so important, and you've always used technology. You've got your, you know, you have your YouTube show that you've done. Like, how are you connecting with your fans at this time? I know that you just talked about doing some live shows. I've seen that you did a Hot Topic sponsored live show. By the way, if you want to break out a guitar at any point We can play a couple bars of the new song because it's amazing. We'll come back in just a moment and maybe we'll play a few bars. And then I want to hear how you guys are actually dealing with being stuck at home in the quarantine.
Cool.
We'll be back in just a moment. And we'll be back with Palais Royale.
You're listening to Lips LA with Scott Lips.
Our show today is brought to you by the fine folks at Thursday's Boot Company. You guys have seen me rocking these boots in every other picture I have on Instagram. I'm always repping them. Thursday's Boots is a bootstrap startup that makes the best handcrafted boots and sells them direct to consumer at some of the lowest markups in the footwear industry. Thursday's Boots tagline is highest quality, honest prices, because they use some of the best materials like full grain leather, supple glove leather lining, and gold standard Goodyear welt construction. Thursday's Boot Company sells their boots at prices starting at just $149 with free shipping and returns. They've been featured in all the best fashion press, from Esquire to GQ to Cosmo and Vogue. And more importantly, they've gotten over 20,000 five-star reviews from real customers. Thursday's boots are perfect for people who understand quality and don't want to pay a high retail markup for a great-looking pair of boots that are built to last. So check them out at Thursday's Boots on Instagram. My favorite shoes, my favorite boots. You always see me repping them. You'll love it.
You're listening to Lips LA with Scott Lips.
Hey guys, welcome back. We are back with Palais Royale, and we have a special surprise for you guys now. We're going to actually play Hang On To Yourself. These guys are not quarantining in different houses. They're next to each other. So
yes,
we have
brothers. So I think
they're
brothers.
I feel like it might be weird with the Zoom. I don't know if there's any lag or anything. So if we were in different places, that might be a little weird.
I'm in the face, dream of God. Messed up goatee, poppies and pears. Wearing in my new cross sweat. Mute up dead beat, minor fret. Took a love and automatic bang, bang. In the side, short, short, dead evil hand. Speed of love, electric magic, bang, bang, automatic, short, short, better leave, hang on to yourself, say on to yourself, say on to yourself, say on to yourself. Got a black out guarantee. Cocaine, champagne, empty the streets. Flashing this black sauce, you a spoon. Down the baby, flight of the moon. We got the love and automatic. Bang, bang, hear me shout it. Short, short, better leave a play on. Speaking of love, let your magic bang, bang. All about it, short, short. Better leave you alone. Lay on to yourself. Lay on to yourself. Lay on to yourself. Lay on to yourself. Yourself. We got the love and all about it. Bang, bang. Give me some short, short. Better leave you alone. Cause we got love, let's imagine. Bang, bang, it's automatic. But you're too good, better than me. Oh, hang on to yourself. Hang on to yourself. Hang on to yourself.
Amazing. I would clap, but I don't want it to mess up everyone's ears. So that's incredible. Might be the first live Zoom concert I've ever really been a part of. So it's
right. Yeah. First live Zoom.
It's funny. Yeah. It's like we've been doing the live stream stuff, and when we put out Lonely, it was so ironic that Lonely came out the day we had to leave tour. And yeah, so we were flying back from Paris. We were in the hotel room. Lonely came out. It was supposed to be the big push of a song that goes from the label to the radio and everything. And it was just like very, you know, interesting to see that came out and then everyone had to be alone. And so it was kind of weird that the song came out in such a lyrically, like it's a, you know, very dark and it's kind of like a weird timing, but it just kind
it's of our fastest growing single of all time. So that's
amazing. Yeah, you guys were featured on Spotify playlist the other day, which is incredible.
It's been amazing. It's like I've looked at all the Spotify playlists and Little Bastards, Bastards in the American Dream, Lonely, and You'll Be Fine Still. Like we're across like 40 different playlists on Spotify right now, and it's just on YouTube when you go to like the rock hit playlist right now, we're the number one video with Little Bastards.
Amazing.
I've never seen that with our whole entire band, and now we're at home and we're like stuck. And you're looking at the phone, and like you're seeing all the stuff. But
you just want to go out and play shows and celebrate. And it's just like, all right, another Twinkie. All right, let's do it.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Did you guys decide on the concept of doing the video? Because the video for Little Bastards is almost like anime. It's this great. It's an animated version of you guys. Was that decided with? After the coronavirus came about, because obviously you couldn't be in a physical room to do this video?
So originally Emerson's been drawing and writing the whole graphic novel for this album. And so the album comes out with a graphic novel. And so it kind of like, you know, plays off the lyrics, plays off the music videos. But originally this song was necessarily supposed to be a mixture of animation world and live action. So we started on the animation idea right when all this started hitting. And we were like, we can't go shoot. No one's going to work. No one's going to want to film a music video right now. So we just said, you know what? Let's stick to
animation
side of it. And it was crazy because we're stuck in a house and there's toxic stuff coming from the outside world into this home. And we have to use the gas mask.
And it was funny because we were like, yeah, we wrote out the animation video before this whole thing went down. And it's like, it was weirdly perfect timing.
In the terrible situation.
In this horrible situation, but the gas mask kind of came at like a very unique time in our culture.
Yeah.
And we should talk about Emerson's an amazing artist, and I think he did some of the inside artwork for this new album.
So he did old artwork for the inside of the album. The main photo was done by our friend Ashley, and Emerson does all the foldouts. So, you know, like as you are especially, it's like we love being able to open up a vinyl and see old artwork.
Yeah.
You know, bands like Cream like had some of the best artwork. You can get lost in it. And to see Emerson's really like, that's where the Velvet Underground and all those, you know, art bands were where we got all inspiration from. And then the music side, all obviously like the Stones and whatnot. But Emerson just dives in and each record gives out like a whole fold out of like from left to right, huge art piece that we end up using as our backdrop on stage as well. So you get immersed into the world from the album by looking at it. Then you come to the shows, you see that with all the lights and all the signs and stuff. And it's really cool. We connect our records to our actual live show. And it's not like someone designed the album for us and then someone designed our stage show for us. It's like we're 100% hands-on.
And even with the merch, you guys have your own line of cosmetics. So let's talk about all your products. So you have all these things going on, right? So your own line of cosmetics and your own merch that's doing really well.
We've been doing the makeup. We've been started doing, Emerson really took on this tour. We were doing pop-up shops because you go into music venues and you sell your merch and they end up taking such a premium rate of your merch sales. And it's really difficult to survive no matter how much merch you do sell. So we got really smart and started opening up our own pop-up stores in every single city. Not every single city, but most of the cities.
Yeah, like the main targeted cities.
Like London and Amsterdam.
So Emerson was like, I don't think he had one off day on that tour because he was just constantly like always doing something. So he worked his little butt off. And then as far as like cosmetics go, you know, we never always just want to be like a band that just does the music. Obviously music comes first in anything that we do, but we want to make everything so visual and so unique. So doing things like a clothing line and cosmetics and, you know, just, you know, cause we're starting to like lessen our music videos, like the typical format, and turning them into like short films almost. So we're just trying to do what, you know, just trying to be more creative and do more than just music.
And that's so important. And it's exciting because I think it keeps us happy with what we're doing.
Definitely keeps us entertained.
You know, there's always, every day there's almost a life or death kind of situation. Like, we need to get this video done. We need to do this. And it's like, it's an interesting format, but it's all three of us are so invested heavily into the creation from music to all the way to the makeup stuff. So it's three heads butting at all times, but it's great. You know, it's not just one of us.
You fight like brothers for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. We go at it.
We definitely fight, but honestly,
recently.
Yeah. I mean, quarantine itself, we're all separated at this point. But yeah, it's, you know, whenever we fight, you know, I think our love outweighs the hate for each other. So that's always good. Definitely. And, you know, I couldn't imagine doing this without them, you know, in a weird way. I couldn't imagine doing music by myself.
You have an undeniable chemistry that's incredible, and that's why you guys stick together. I mean, there's so many examples of brothers that fight. I mean, let's not, you know, the Oasis is of the world. I heard the other day that I guess Oasis was trying to reform and do something for the coronavirus, and you know, Liam was into it, and Noel said, "I'd rather burn his house down than to actually get back together with him."
So, Jesus Christ.
And it's supposed to be for such a cause that's not about...
it's crazy.
You
it's crazy.
You can't be selfish.
Yeah, you can't be selfish during this time.
But for guys that are constantly on the move, because I will say that's one thing we definitely have in common, you're super motivated. You guys work harder than almost any other band I know. How are you adjusting to what's going on right now in culture?
I wanted to ask you the same question. You are out every single day. You're like, I want to get lunch. You want to get dinner? Yeah. Like, I don't think you eat at home. So it's funny to see you having to be home cooking. And I just feel like you're a social butterfly, like all of us. And it's like, you're just like, let me go out. And I can only imagine for you. For us, we're on tour all the time. So we're constantly in a different place and disoriented. Yeah. So being in the same place is a really interesting thing.
Do you find it hard to adjust?
I'm not very good alone. I'm not very good by myself. So it's taking a lot of adjusting. I think the most I've spent with myself in the past like 5 years of touring is maybe like 8 hours. Literally, I'm always surrounded by people no matter what. So this is like such a different thing for me, just trying to learn how to be alone.
And how are you adjusting? Are you adjusting in the way that you're finding it's really hard for you, or?
Yeah. So, I mean, I still have, I'm staying with my friend, Michael. So it's like, we still have, but whenever he like goes out for like a day or something, or like leaves the house, I'm just like, now what?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm adjusting slowly but surely, but I'm writing a ton of music. And then I just bought like a fixer upper car. So I'm like just working on that.
Amazing. And let's talk about the new record. Was the process of writing this any different? Did you write it on the road? Did you write it at your studio?
Like this whole record, we was completely flipped from how we normally do albums. And it was great because we wrote the first song that was really wrote for, like, that kind of started the new sound of the record. We had a song called Masochist. We had a song called Redeemer and Wasted. And that was when we decided we were in side B and we need to have another album to change the direction.
Yeah.
So we wrote this song called Stay in February of 2018. And then the first time, right before Boomer Room Side B came out in September of 2018, in August, we went to Topanga Canyon. We wrote songs like Fucking With My Head, Tonight's the Night I Die.
Yeah.
And then we came back on tour from tour in 2019 and wrote Masochist and American Dream.
Yeah, we went to Joshua Tree for about 2 weeks, just bought out like so much alcohol and just like pretty much quarantined ourselves in this house. We weren't allowed to leave.
We told each other, we can't leave.
We have to write at least 5 songs for this record. So we pretty much quarantined ourselves, and there was the closest neighbor, I think, was maybe like a mile and a half away.
Yeah.
So we were in the middle of nowhere in Joshua Tree.
And we just set up and played the loudest, darkest music I think we've ever wrote as a band.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Tell me the story behind Lonely.
So yeah.
Lonely
came about.
It was crazy. I think we were coming back from Australia in September.
Yeah.
And that was
when the band almost broke up. We just did a tour with Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie.
Yeah.
We were not feeling it anymore.
You know, we were worn out. We were tired. We were going
4 years straight.
4 years straight. Yeah. And I was coming back. I didn't sleep for like, I think it was like 36 hours or something, because we got on the plane. And then I can't sleep on flights, so that was like a nice 20-hour flight. And then I was like on my Uber back from LAX to my house, and I was in a really dark place, and I was just writing these lyrics down. And then while I was like still in my Uber, I sent those lyrics to my producer, and he's like, "These are great." He's like, "Do you just want to come over right now?" I'm like, "Dude, I haven't slept in so long." He's like, "Perfect, come over." And so we recorded and finished the whole song in about 2 hours.
And I think it definitely, you know, it's one of those songs that came together so quickly, and we finished up in the studios. Normally as a band, we are always in one room and we just play super loud. And I think the only thing that even was guitar wise that I even put on it was like just probably 40 seconds, like playing one single, like, yeah, yeah's note, like going through a second verse. And it was kind of a different approach, but it's like kind of gives color to our album. It doesn't say, yeah, here's a rock record, like fast drums, fast guitars for 12 songs. You know, there's diversity.
I like to think of ourselves not as a rock band, but it's just like, just as artists, because I never want to be, you know, defined as one genre, because
we started with rock. And
yeah, because this band, we never know what type of song we're about to write next. You know, it can lead us anywhere. But that song, it was so different and it was so unique. And it was funny because I kind of forgot I wrote that song because I was so delirious at that point. And so I went home and like I slept for like 20 hours after that. And then my producer sent me the song and I woke up. I was like, "Whoa, what is this?" And I was like, "Oh my God, that's right. That wasn't a dream. Like, we actually recorded the song last night." And it turned out amazing. And it was like one of the simplest songs that, you know, was as far as the process goes. But
I think truthfully, though, it's like one of the most
honest
songwriting that Remington's ever done lyrically. And I think it told the story of how we were raised. And I think we normally with music videos, we don't go really personal with it. It's more of a storyboard. And I think when it came to the filming of the music video, Remington took like full control of directing it. And it said, we need to like actually show, because there is so many kids that are like in this world that
probably going through the same thing that we went
and
through.
And you need to show that, you know,
like it's always great, you know, showing like these big grandioso videos of, you know, a big storyboard. But I kind of wanted to tell the story of, you know, what my childhood really was like. And, you know, to let people know that like somehow I made it out. And if you're going through something similar, like you can do it too.
And the video is incredible. I mean, you're digging a grave. There's you're wearing a dress. I mean, the storyboard behind that. What was the sort of storyboard concept behind that?
It was just kind of like telling the story of like, you know, me as a kid, and you know, kind of what I went through, and you know, it's you know, some people don't think, you know, what happens to you as a kid, you know, kind of crosses over into your adult life, and it really does. You know, the way that you're raised and everything. So yeah, I wanted to tell that story, you know, my story.
We'll be right back in a moment with the boys from Palais Royal.
You're listening to Lips LA with Scott Lips.
So we're back with the boys from Palais Royal. We were just talking about off mic with a friend of mine, actually Joey Benno, who was on the show not long ago, that actually was in a coma from the coronavirus. And yeah, he's all right. He's doing better, thanks. I mean, it's a crazy time. And as we were just talking about it, mental health wise, it's hard, you know. As you guys know, I do go out all the time. I don't think I've cooked a meal at my house in 5 years. So I'm a great cook. I'm working out every day. I'm doing strange things that I never did before. But what are you guys doing during this quarantine that the listeners want to know? Are you cooking? Are you?
I love from them, you know, ever since we were living back in Vegas, my mom kind of, she was like, I'm done cooking for you guys. I cooked for you guys for like 15 years, you know, when I was like 15. So I started learning how to cook. And so I started cooking for the boys. And when we were on tour, I would cook all the time. So it's really easy adjusting for me. You know, I'm just like cook every meal. And with my fiance, Larissa, she doesn't cook at all. So she's like, she's loving it that I'm actually a good cook. So I'm not just like trying to pretend like I know what I'm doing. And so that's been good. But I honestly, it's been trying to stay positive. And it's like you wake up every day in this lull. And I think the only way like I stay mentally stable in the sense is I go on runs, you know. Luckily, like I live in an area where like I'm not near people if I go on a run, and I just run down Mulholland and it's great. And no one's on the road. It's like the weirdest thing. You just see people on bicycles on Mulholland now, and you're like, this is a strange, like,
yeah, it's like
around.
The Walking Dead. It's like come to life. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's so crazy. It's like watching like 28 Days Later when he's just like walking around the city. It's like, what the fuck happened?
And that was like the Peloton bike. Like, I'm so happy you turned me on to that, because I have one and like I can use that as much as I need. I have a pool table in our place. I have a piano, so like I'm content with entertainment. But
you
now
got a nice setup.
I have a nice setup, and I'm so happy I do, because I went on tour. I'm like, oh shit, like I'm in a bus and it's amazing, but I have this beautiful house like that I can come back to. And now it's like I'm so glad I like made the decision with my fiance to get a new place because it's like the best place to be quarantined. So I'm really fortunate in the situation. But I'm regardless of like the view or anything, it's just like, I just want to work. I just want to see people. I need the human connection. You go from tour seeing 2,000 kids in front of you every day, singing your words, going crazy. And every night's a blast. And then coming home and it's routine and you have to kind of shake things up a little bit. I think yes, I'm dressed like this, but this is how I get dressed probably like 5 days out of the week. Just
do you own sweatpants, Sebastian? I feel like you don't.
I have the Pele pajamas.
I either see him like completely bare ass or in a suit. It's like no in between.
I'm not wearing pants right now. No, I am.
That's good though. What's his name? The guy from The Office. John
Krasinski.
Yeah,
I can't pronounce his last name either.
Yeah, I know.
Some good news.
I'm such a fan of the show. Yeah.
Have you seen this? It's great because he's like, I'm not wearing pants. It was dull. People are like drawing him.
I watched like the Steve Carell one. That was amazing.
I think it's great that like people are finding it. Like people are adapting incredibly quick to, as entertainers, you still have to entertain even though you're in a situation that you don't have production. And I think it's really showing like the true artistry and like creativity levels through these people that are just willing to try anything, in regardless of their homes, they're making sets, they're making things that are entertaining, and you know, it's adapting in a different way. But also, I feel like the entertainment business is going to fall flat on its feet it's because it's just like the artists and the entertainers are now finding new platforms to like be creative and give outlets to their audience, and you don't need a big studio to do things to entertain people. And I think we were getting to this point that people are spending hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars sometimes on just like on little TV shows or on podcasts and doing like YouTube shows. And now you don't need much. You have a phone, film yourself, be entertaining. And if you're entertaining, people will still watch it. You know?
I always say this is coming live from my living room, but let's talk about your contemporaries like Youngblood. So he's doing his own variety show, right? And I feel like you guys could pull off something like that very easily because you have the charisma, you have the talent, you have a lot of friends. You know, is that something? Have you thought about doing types of content to promote this record?
Well, that's what we've been doing with our live stream, Lonely with Pally Rao. We did it for 3 weeks, and we had our friend before it got a little bit too hectic, but because our friend Frankie does magic, he was doing magic.
I saw Frankie's magic with you one night. Yeah,
it's so good. And he, you know, we've been just trying to keep it interesting, doing like Q&As and playing acoustic songs. And our friend Michael, that was on the road with us, he was like the host of the show. So everyone's in suits. Like we all sit on the couch. You have all the Palais like memorabilia behind us. And
I mean, we're trying to make most of it. But for like this downtime, I've been like, you know, writing out the next music video. I've been like writing new music, and it's so funny because like Sebastian said, I miss the human connection. So I call Sebastian at least 4 or 5 times.
And I never call.
Right. I never call. I know. But I just, because he can talk forever, and it's just nice to talk to somebody.
You find yourself, I have like ex-girlfriends that call me from like 7 years ago. Hey, I was just thinking about you. I'm like, you haven't thought about me in 7 years, but
why is coronavirus
great to talk to you? Yeah. So in terms of like, let's on a serious note though, the financial implications to touring, you know, because obviously you guys make most of your money through touring. It's not through record sales, it's through merchandise. How is this going to affect you guys? What sort of plan B? I mean, what does this mean to you during, you know, postponed for a year?
I think when it comes to this, it's like, it's still settling in. And I think as a business side of things, we've definitely have a lot of things like ready to go for, in the sense that if this continues and we're not allowed to do anything, but there's going to be a point that we can leave our homes, and you know, we're definitely going to be doing a lot of live shows, but making them interesting, not just filming ourselves playing a concert, because you know, if you've been to a concert, you've been to a concert, and without an audience, concerts are a little weird. So we want to do.
I'm a show pony. I gotta have that. Gotta have the fans in front of me.
But your shows are not normal shows. I mean, Remington, you're climbing on the PA system.
It'd be weird to like climb like in my kitchen and just be would be wrong.
Yeah, so that's
diving into the sink or something, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have the most trusty light fixture, so it just like pop right at all.
Yeah, no, we've been doing the acoustic thing a little bit more because it's like the most honest way to connect a song to people. And also, you don't need to have a full band. And luckily, the three of us are still here. Our bass player, Daniel, he's still in England. Like, he never left. He just stayed in Europe.
He loves it there.
He loves it there.
He's very happy in London right now.
But yeah, it's definitely for the financial thing. It's a little scary to see that we've worked our asses off sleeping in vans, sleeping in SUVs, traveling across America. We finally got tour buses and selling out, you know, really decent sized, you know, arena, like small arena stuff and like big theaters. And it's really exciting, but now it's like, that's kind of taken away from us. It's stripped.
Mm. Yeah. It's, but you know, we consider ourselves like the luckiest people in the world. We get to play music for a living, and honestly, we're just excited to get back. And until that point, you know,
we can just create.
You know, we can just create with each other, and that's the whole point. So, I'm not too upset. You know, like it's.
But talk about the ways that you'll promote this record.
Yeah. So for promoting this record, it's we did this thing actually because we understand, or I don't think a lot of people actually do understand, is that when a record comes out in this situation, as of May 10th. The record industry said that no physical records will count towards first week sales. And we've been have our album out for pre-orders for about a month. And we've done really well with physical sales because of the artwork and everything that comes with it in the bundles. We've been doing like gas masks and like all these things, like little like merch ideas that come with the record. And those we've been doing incredibly well. But now they've told us like those will not count towards your first week sales. The only thing that will count will be streaming and digital sales. So with the digital sales, we've been doing this thing since we have so much downtime. For all the fans that download or pre-order the album and send them proof, we are sending like 5 second, 10 second, like little personalized video messages for the fans.
Yeah.
And
awesome. That's a great idea, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got nothing else to do.
And the kids will love it. Everyone, I think the fans entirely will love it. So, I don't know.
So when you buy a record, you actually record a message for every single fan out there.
Every single fan.
That's the plan. If you send it in and, you know, you send in all the right information, we will send
you
a letter.
You send us proof that you bought our record, we will send you a video, a personalized video.
That's amazing.
We're already at like, it's like 6,500 in like the past couple days.
We got some work to do. Yeah. We definitely got some work to do. But
so you really won't be leaving your house in the next few months.
Oh, and we're not going to be leaving. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Even when the quarantine's over, we're still going to be making videos.
And is there anything good that's come out of this for you guys? I mean, do you feel like, you know, whether it be movies on demand or getting in better shape because you're on the Peloton every day or getting the right songs more? I mean, what is it that, is there any sort of positivity that comes out of this for you guys?
I made one of like the second or the guest bedroom. I finally made it into like a studio room and like repainted everything, made it really nice in the setup. And I've been practicing guitar more in the past like 2.5 weeks than I've practiced guitar in like 4 years from touring. You know, amazing. You play the same songs over and over again. And I'm sitting there like practicing scales like I'm 12 again. And it's really like a cool thing because I've never have time to practice because it's always, we're rehearsing for a tour, or we're doing all the promos, we're doing the things. And you don't get any alone time. You're always writing for a record. You're always writing for, you know, you're always rehearsing for a tour. And now it's like, oh, I have so much time. I can play piano all day and I can play guitar all day. And I'm finding a new love and connection for it. And it's really exciting because I've never had that. We've been just touring so much. And it's just like dressing room, show. And that's it. And it's an amazing life. But now I get to like sit back and be like, what do I like musically?
It's weird because I've also been doing something similar. Like I've been like training my voice to be like, I'm doing like more like vocal techniques and stuff, and like just honestly just learning from YouTube like how to sing different types of ways. And it's, and then I just bought my first car, so that's been amazing. Fun.
What'd you buy?
So 69 Mustang.
Amazing. I love 69.
So she's kind of a piece of shit right now, but I'm going to fix her up real nice.
That's awesome. So besides that, any great movies or shows? Obviously, there's Tiger King. There's Unorthodox.
Tiger King has been keeping me going.
The problem is, like, I have to binge watch things because now I feel like our the way we live with entertainment for on demand, like Netflix and all, and like Hulu and all that stuff, you need to have like shows that you just get hooked on and watch in this situation. And I'll get into like 10 minutes of a new season. I'm like, don't like it, next thing. So I'm trying to find things, but I've rewatched Curb Your Enthusiasm so much already. And
same.
That's like, I feel like I've never watched this much TV. Yeah. Movies like are really hard to find since I feel like I've watched all my favorite movies, but I'm revisiting like records that I haven't listened to in a while and like listening from the top of the album to the bottom of the album and be like, wow, that's fun. Like I'll go on a run for an hour and listen to two records or a record and just like get back into enjoy being a music fan again, you know?
I have to say the new Strokes record's pretty good. You know, I haven't really listened to Pearl Jam in many years, but this new record, at least it's rocking, so it's cool. So anything else that you guys are discovering while you're at home there that, any other hidden talents we should know about?
Oh, I've got really, really good at poker. Larissa and myself have been playing poker nonstop, and but now it's like I'm playing against one person, so it's like the most.
I'm slowly figuring out how much tequila shots I can handle in one sitting. So that's what I've been finding out about myself.
Well, when life finally returns to normal, and I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on when that might be. I mean, what do you think it's going to be like? Do you think that concerts are still going to be, you think that people will be
still
afraid
of
gathering?
Serious trust issues with like shaking hands still. Yeah. I'm going to have like, it's going to take me a second to kind of get back into it.
The barrier that it's going to be very hard to not break down anymore is what we used to always do. It's like we had VIPs. Regardless, we were in London. We played to, you know, over 2,000 people at our show. And we went outside and met everyone on the streets. Like,
hugged them all.
Hugged them all. And now, like, it's something gonna, that's it's made this
different
band.
Because, like, human, like,
connection
and, like, interaction is going to be still, I feel like, a little bit limited after the quarantine is lifted. So I'm curious to see what's going to happen. But I just want to go eat at a restaurant again.
Yeah,
I miss that so much.
I want to go to Jones.
I just want to have, like, a drink with my friends and just eat some good food.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, same. So you think that maybe one possibility is kind of smaller settings where people are not bunched up together, maybe they're acoustic gigs?
We've been already thinking about it, and we already know what the situation might turn into. They're not going to allow, like, it's if it was a year ago in this band and this happened to this band, we would find a tour because, like, I do believe they're going to allow shows for, like, 300, 400, 500 caps happen again, and you're going to probably have to, like, get your temperature taken, but doing the size rooms we're doing right now, they're not going to allow those shows. Arenas are definitely not going to happen. Stadiums are definitely not going to happen. And with
festivals,
are definitely not going to happen. And that's the reality. And, you know, everyone wants to be positive and say, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But the reality is you don't know the severity of something like this. And yes, entertainment is important, but shows are going to have to be incredibly intimate from moving forward. And I think a lot of bands or acts that have really large egos are not going to want to do it because they're like, oh, it's too small of a show. But luckily, like, we built our audience through opening at clubs, so like,
I played a grocery store, I'm fine.
We've already thought with our pop-up shops and all this stuff, there's a lot of ways to keep the fan interaction at an all-time high, but also keeping like the distance as well. There's going to be it's going to be a change for, I really do believe, another 2 to 3, 4 years, like, of people getting back into it. And of course people are going,
or we just play like arenas and everyone just stands like 6 feet apart and then we can totally sell that.
Are you optimistic about the future?
What's that?
Are you optimistic about the future, or do you feel like, obviously everyone's scared right now, but how do you feel about the future?
I'm actually glad that the quarantine did get extended so everyone can kind of like stay at home, get healthier, and so this can kind of go quicker and get back to normal life as soon as possible. So if the whole quarantine thing works, like we're going to be at home for another month anyway. So hopefully the sooner you stay at home, the sooner we can get back to
I think though it's going into like the venues and stuff. It's going to be it is going to be sad for small, like owned, you know, family owned or small companies that own music venues, because no one's going to be able to do those, you know? And like, it's a unfortunate thing. Yes, we're with, like, you know, a company like Live Nation that's been doing our tour, but they're really going to find a way to push people out, and it sucks, you know? And we'll see where it takes, you know, live entertainment and the music industry, but people are going to need entertainment. And I feel like the only thing people are going to get from this is people are going to truly, truly take,
they won't ever take live shows for granted.
No,
again,
live music will never be taken for granted. It is going to be a treat once again. And it's like how it used to be. You went to a concert and you remember that concert forever. It's not like, I went and saw a show.
Yeah, you know? Or it's not going to be like, oh, you know, I just kind of want to stay home tonight. Or you know, people would be like, they're in town tonight. I'm going to go see the show. I don't care what's going on.
Or it's going to be opening bands like I've always been. It's like I've been open to seeing opening bands because we were in the opening band and that's how we got our start. But I definitely feel people like more people are going to show up. They're going to show up on time. They're not going to show up. Oh, when's the main act on?
Yeah. You know? I heard my favorite song. I'm going to leave.
Yeah. They're going to actually try to enjoy as much as they can. So, yeah.
By the way, I don't think I'll take anything for granted after this. I mean, whether it's going to a restaurant, getting sushi,
I
going to a movie,
really
anything.
Hope not. Yeah. If my thing is though, like, I feel like people are in like 3 months after this is all clear, really completely forgetting about it and losing. When I see people at grocery stores and they're pissed off and they're yelling it, like, I'm like, calm down. Everyone's going through the same thing. You know,
it's not just you. Everyone's going through something similar. You know, everyone's got to stay at home.
You know, no question. So. Any more collaborations in your future? I know that you did something with the guys from 5 Seconds to Summer or New Year's. You did like a very cool gig where you guys are doing War Pigs and stuff like that. So any other collaborations that you kind of have in mind for coming up for next year or this year?
Yeah. We got a few artists in mind. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Obviously, it's like a little trying time right now. But we definitely are up for like some cool collabs this year.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, the new record drops when? May 19th, is it?
May 29th.
May 29th. Okay. May 29th. Download the record. Check out the YouTube channel, right? Anything else? Yeah. What else should we plug? We have so much to plug.
Spotify.
No, but I think a look at all the new merch that we've just dropped. We did like plaid skirts for girls. We did these like really
even
cool.
Guys too.
Yeah. I mean, some wear, is it?
I like to wear a good skirt. It's like a nice beige, like in my undercarriage. So it's nice.
We've done the new makeup line. We've done the pajamas. We've done the socks, the sunglasses. There's all these like cool merch ideas that are happening. There's a lot of video ideas that are happening like during this time, which is good. So we're going to be putting out some weekly like acoustic live unplugged type videos.
And the next music video to come out is going to be pretty crazy.
I love you guys. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
I love you, Scott.
I'm kind of bummed that I don't get to see you anymore. I feel my biggest thing about this whole thing is that I can't connect with my friends anymore. And that's the hardest part. So like, you know, I've tried to do the bicycle thing where it's like 8 feet apart, but even that's kind of weird because if you can't talk to your friends, what's the point of seeing them, right?
Exactly.
Hey man, take care. I'm sure I'll speak to you guys by text, by phone next couple of days. Love you guys. And check out all the music from Palo Real.
Love you, Scott. Thank you so much for having me, man.
All right, guys. See you soon.
So good to see you, buddy.
See you, buddy.
Thank you.
My name is Zach Selwyn. You may remember me as a host from ESPN, Attack of the Show, or even Immortalized, that competitive taxidermy show on AMC. We lasted one episode. Anyway, 3 times a week, I'm bringing you the realest fake news of the day. It's the Saturday Night Live news desk, but in an audible format. Listen to the Audio Up News Network on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Jingle Jared. In my former occupation, I was the biggest jingle writer of all time. Now, I'm looking for a new job, speaking to every entrepreneur that I can find so I can find out what it's like to transition from one career to another. All of this expert advice has become the bedrock for a podcast I'm calling Occupational Therapy. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.